Hello everyone, my name is Suraj. I would like to thank Paul, Luke and other team members for giving me this privilege to come and share God's word with you. My name is Suraj and I'm originally from Nepal, but I have been living in Tasmania for nearly 5 years. So I'm married to Jemima. I've got two children under two, so life is really busy, but God is helping us through that. I would like to give you some, I would like to tell you about what God is doing at the University of Tasmania through Sabi's ministry. I work for Sabi's ministry. Sabi's is an AFES-focused ministry. It's an evangelistic ministry to reach out to the students from the subcontinent, including India, Nepal, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka, with the good news of Jesus at UTAS. However, we have students from Saudi Arabia, Dubai, and South America as well, and praise God for that. Our vision is to make disciples of all nations, which is from the Bible. We meet every Tuesday. During semesters at Wellspring Anglican Church. We eat food, we do activities, we play games, and we share the gospel with them. We have got five F words, but good words: food, fun, friends, faith, and festivals. Subcontinentals love festivals. We have bought over 150 bilingual Bibles covering 11 major subcontinental languages: Hindi, Tamil, Telugu, Nepali, Sinhali, Bengali, Urdu, Punjabi. I can't remember all of them, but yeah, we do have. We hope and pray these international students will return to their countries, not just with university degrees, but also with the good news of Jesus. And that is the best gift we can ever give this to these students. And they will be the best missionaries we can send, since they know the language, they know the culture, they have got the passport, there is no visa problem. They will be the best missionaries. So we started service in 2017, ever since then, it was going well up until the outbreak of COVID-19. But after the COVID-19, service is going even better. And I would like to tell you how. So before COVID-19, we used to have around 45 to 50 non-Christian students attending service weekly. But after COVID-19, we started Show Hope campaign to help international students. And then after the COVID-19, we had over 100 non-Christian students attending Sabi's every week, and 95% of them have heard the good news of Jesus for the first time in their life, and we are so thankful to God for that. So last year, our one brother from India, he became a Christian, he accepted Jesus, and we have got the photo at the end. God used COVID-19 to take Sabi's to a whole new level. God used COVID-19 to make Sabi's bigger and better than ever. And we are so thankful to God for that. So that's my the presentation of the Sabi's ministry. Now to the sermon. You know, Tasmania is becoming more and more multicultural. And its culture is changing rapidly. And the churches of Tasmania should be trained and equipped to evangelize those international people, immigrants, effectively. In Tasmania, more than 159 languages are spoken. Indians are the second largest groups entering Australia, and Nepalese are the third largest groups entering Australia. Nepali became the fastest growing immigrant population in Australia in 2015. Nepali language was the second most spoken language other than English in Tasmania, according to the census of 2016 in Tasmania. So why I'm saying all this? There is a big, massive field. Before, missionaries used to go from Australia to India and Nepal, but now all those people are coming and living just right behind our house. I think the churches of Tasmania should be trained, should come up with strategies and plans and pray together to evangelize those people. So the big question is, how are the churches in Tasmania trained? And at service, we are trying our best to reach out to those people with the good news of Jesus. But we haven't covered the whole people, but some of the people we have been able to share the gospel with. And as today's sermon comes from the epistle to from Philippians chapter 1 verses 3 to 18, you know Paul wrote this letter, and he wrote this letter to thank the people, the church at Philippi, and he's expressing his gratitude towards the people who supported him financially, with prayers and with encouragement. There are so many things we can learn from the life of Paul, but one of them is how to encourage others. Paul is really, really good at encouraging others. He's the master of encouragement, we can say. It is beautiful what Paul says. I pray with joy. I really like that phrase. I pray with joy. To be honest, sometimes I pray with frustration. I pray with anxiety and worry and stress and so on. But we need to learn. We need to pray. We need to learn from Paul to pray with joy. Paul is in prison and when he wrote this letter. But he talks about joy while he was in prison. The concept of joy comes about 16 times in these four chapters of this epistle, which means Paul wrote one of the most joyful letters while he was in prison. That's incredible. Verse 5, it says, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. When I read this chapter, it reminds me of the partnership I have with the people, with the churches around Tassie. God's amazing work happening in and through Sabis, all because of the partnership. And I pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel. We all are doing our part. You do your part by supporting us and praying for us and encouraging us. And we do our part by going to the campus and sharing the gospel with international people. And God does his part by giving it growth. That's how we are doing God's ministry together. Partnership is one of the most important things in any ministry in the world. Sabi's ministry or AFES ministry suffers if we don't have partnership with you. There is a beautiful saying, I really like this, there's a beautiful saying, it goes something like this: if you want to go fast, go by yourself. But if you want to go far, go with the team. As Christians, we want to go far, we want to go further and further, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, and it is healthier, it is better to go with the team. And today I'm here to encourage you to partner in God's ministry. Through partnership, we can win these international students for Christ. And every time you pray for any ministry in the world, God sees it. Every dollar you give it to any ministry in the world, God loves it, God sees it, and God takes notice of it. If we are praying for any ministry or supporting any ministry in the world, which means we are investing in the kingdom of God. That's really wonderful. We can actually invest in the kingdom of God. God works through partnership. God works through partnership. Who knows, maybe the people who come to Sabis now, in 10 years' time or 20 years' time or 30 years' time, when they go back to their countries, and some Christians would come into their life and share the good news of Jesus again with them, and they would go, yeah, I remember 20 years ago or 30 years ago, Suraj used to tell me the same thing. Now I understand why he was so passionate about his God. That's how God works. We may not see the fruit now, but the word of God that is embedded in their heart never comes back empty. God's word has power. As you know, Paul is in chains. He's in prison. Because he's in prison, some people are preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry. And some people are preaching Christ out of goodwill. Some people are preaching Christ to create a conflict in the church. But one thing we need to notice that Paul is not worried about those people. Paul could have easily become stressed or depressed about the people who were preaching Christ out of goodwill, out of rivalry and envy. But he's not. Instead, he's glad, he's happy, and he's rejoicing because Christ is priest. Verse 12, I would like to read. When I read verse 12, it reminds me of my testimony, how I became a Christian. I would like to read verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. I was born into a Hindu family. I became a Christian when I was about 10 years old. And my father was one of the extremist Hindus I have ever seen in my life. There used to be a church behind, next to my house, basically next door. And I used to see little children going to church every Saturday morning. So Saturday is our public holiday, not Sunday. Sunday is the, that is in Nepal. Sunday is the first day of the week. So every Saturday morning, I used to see these little children going to church, having fun, playing games and singing songs and dancing and eating food. And I really, really wanted to go to church. But my father said to me, never ever go to church. Never ever. Christianity is a foreign religion. Jesus is a foreign God. He's not our God. So never ever go to church. But I really wanted to go to church, not just because I wanted to know about Christ. I just wanted to have fun with the little children, being a 10 years old boy. One day, being a rebellious child, I went to the church. But my pastor said to me, hey, I was about to enter the church, and the pastor said to me, hey, Suraj, don't come to church. If your father knows that you came to church, he will fight with me. He will mess up with me. So you better not come to church. I was sad. And I went around behind the church to see through the broken window what was happening inside the church, the Sunday school. So we don't have, church like this fancy. We have like little shed with the broken windows. So every Saturday morning, I used to go behind the church to see through the window what's happening inside the church for 4 months, or four to 5 months. And having seen my, passion to know about Jesus, and the pastor came and said to me, hey, Suraj, you can come to church now. I will talk to your father and let's see what happens. So after that, ever since, I started to go to church every week and learned more and more about this new foreign God, Jesus. When I was 17 years old, my father said to me, Suraj, it's been long since you have started going to church. I have noticed that you have been going to church for a long time. Today you have to make a decision. If you want to stay in my house, stop going to church. But if you continue to go to church, then I will kick you out of my house, because that brings shame on the family. And it was really hard for me to make a decision. I had no other option. And I said to my father, I love Jesus. I can't live without him. So he kicked me out of his house. Remember, in Nepal, in my context, in my culture, leaving the house at the age of 17 is a very strange thing. You don't do that. And having heard my story that I was kicked out of the house, to all my non-Christian friends and family and relatives, it became clear that I was kicked out of the house for Christ. One of the funny things about a collectivist culture is when something happens in your family, everyone knows before you know. That's one of the funny things. In a whole village, it became a hot topic to gossip. People started to say, who is this God? Who is this new God, Jesus? Suraj is kicked out of his house because of him. Because I started to follow Jesus. So I have rewritten verse 12 in my own words, and I would like to read to you all. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole village and to my relatives and friends and family that I was kicked out of the house for Christ. Paul is saying here, I'm in prison because of Christ, and I was kicked out of the house because of Christ. It is very hard to become Christian in countries like Nepal, but it's worth doing it because in Jesus there is eternal life. Verses 15 to 18, there are two types of people. One, the ones who like Paul, and because Paul is in prison and they are preaching they have become confident to preach the gospel and they are doing really well. And the others who don't like Paul, they are still preaching the risen Christ, but with false motives, out of rivalry and envy. But Paul is not going, I don't know what sort of sermon they are preaching. Paul is not worried, but Paul is rejoicing because he knows that Christ is being preached. Especially when you read the Bible, when you come from different country, different culture, you pick up different things. Some Christians really get hung up in small details. Some Christians are really fussy about their traditionally shaped Christian faith. And we all come from a different culture, different language, and we read the Bible with our culturally shaped lens, and we interpret the Bible accordingly. I think we can disagree in small details, but the main thing is Christ. Main thing is risen Christ, that we are saved by him. It doesn't really matter how often, for example, it doesn't really matter how often do you take Holy Communion. Once a month, or every week, or once every 6 months, as long as you do it in the remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross for us. The place I come from, it is very hard to find grape juice. Yeah, it is. You can find it, but it's very expensive. During Holy Communion, some of the churches can't afford to buy grape juice, so they use lemon juice. Is that wrong? So we need to work what works. We need to know what works for us in our context, for our audience. So in the small details, we shouldn't worry too much about. The main thing is Christ is the center. I think we need to know what is a theological issue and what is a cultural or traditional issue. If it is a theological issue, we need to take a stand. We should not compromise. But if it is a traditional issue or cultural issue, I think we should not worry too much. I invited one of a Christian friend to Sabi's to come and have a look and be blessed. And he came to Sabi's and he had a great time. He seemed to have a great time. So just before he headed home, I went to him and said, "Hey, thank you so much for coming to Sabi's. It was really great to have you. I'm so glad that you came. So what do you think of the ministry?" And he said, "It was nice, but I didn't like it because you guys don't have worship songs." Come on, mate. Rejoice. Christ is priest. He was too worried about the worship songs. He forgot to rejoice that Christ was priest on that night. Not any other God, but Christ. Not any other gospel, but the gospel of Jesus was proclaimed on that night. So it is okay to disagree in small details, but we need to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another, and we need to support one another, and we need to be united in Christ. That is what God wants us to do. Do you know when you go for a driver license test here, or driver license assessment, the instructor always says two things. As long as it is safe and legal, you can do anything. Likewise, when we preach the gospel, we need to know two things: faithful to the text and relevant to the context. We need to be faithful. When we share the gospel, we need to ask ourselves, am I being faithful when I'm preaching the gospel? If you are faithful, that's it. And we need to be relevant to the context as well. So whatever works in our context, we should stick to that and we should continue. For example, why does a loving God allow suffering to happen in the world? You know, this is one of the most popular topics in Western countries. One of the biggest questions in Western countries. Why does a loving God allow suffering to happen in the world? Many preachers love to preach on this topic. Many preachers have preached on this topic. Many books have been written. Many Bible talks have been given. It engages really well. It brings people in Western countries. But in countries like Nepal and India, this question doesn't even exist. You know, Nepal and India are highly Hindu predominant countries. In Hinduism, there is no concept of loving God. In Hinduism, what happens? Gods are up in heaven, and human beings are trying their best to please God. Every day they are trying their best to please God by sacrificing animals, by worshiping different gods, by making vows with God, by going from this temple to another temple. I think, why does a loving God allow suffering to happen in the world? I think this question has come from someone who has Christian background, a rebellious Christian who has some whose background is Christian. And we need to know what is the biggest question in our context, in subcontinental context. Well, the biggest question is, how can I honor God without dishonoring my non-Christian parents? That is the biggest question we are wrestling with. And we need to come up with answers from the Bible to address those questions. As you know, in Western countries, you have individualistic culture. And the subcontinental countries have collectivistic culture. You know, in an individualistic culture, it's about me, mine, individual, and I am. Whereas in a collectivist culture, it's about us, ours, together, we, community. In Australia, when you turn 18, you can do basically whatever you want to do. But in our culture, if the decision we make doesn't help the community, that's not accepted. So we need to remember, it's not about good and bad, wrong and right. It's just different. And the Bible says that people from different culture, different background, different nations come and worship our God Jesus. So let's read what Paul says. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is praised. And because of this, I rejoice. He doesn't stop there. He says, yes, I will continue to rejoice. There was a photo of my grandmother. That's my grandmother, my mom's mother. Back in the days, in the 1950s, when Nepal became... Nepal was open to other countries for the first time. Many missionaries went to Nepal. Many CMS missionaries also, and other missionaries from Australia went to Nepal. And they preached the gospel, and many Nepalese became Christians. Many Nepalese became Christians. And one of them was my grandmother. My grandmother was one of the earliest Christians in Nepal. And I remember my grandmother telling me a story. When they would travel on a bus or on an airplane, if the person who is sitting next to them happens to be a Christian, they would have such a great time. Automatically, they would have really good connection, encouraging time and uplifting time. In Nepal, when you are traveling on a bus or on an airplane, it is rude not to talk to the person who is sitting next to you. You should talk. But here, no. Well, people prefer not to. And it's okay to ask questions like, what do you do? What is your job? How much do you earn? Are you married or not? Have you got kids? What is your wife's name or husband's name? It is okay to ask those questions. My grandmother used to tell me stories. When they would travel on a bus and someone who is sitting next to them happens to be a Christian, they would have a great time and they would love it. They would even pray together on the bus, and they would exchange their addresses to visit them next time. They wouldn't ask, what sort of theology do you have? Which denomination do you come from? They wouldn't ask. All they knew was they believe in the same new God, Jesus, and they are saved by him alone. That's what that mattered. No criticism, no comparison, no conflict, but joy, love, encouragement, and prayer, and unity and support. And that is what God wants us to have. In Paul's letters, when you read, I know everyone reads. Well, this time you can focus, you know. He often uses the phrase like help one another, pray for one another, build one another, support one another, stand together. We are God's chosen people. That sort of phrase he uses. And Paul is the one who talks more and more about partnership, because partnership is very, very needed in ministry. So if you want to see Christ preached to internationals or immigrants or international students, please pray for us and partner with us, and we can rejoice together because Christ is preached. And we need to see that Christ preached. Thank you very much for this time. God, may God bless you.